Welcome to As You Wish Talk Radio. I'm your host, James Gillen, and we're broadcasting from beautiful Trout Lake, Washington. We've got quite a show here for tonight. We're going to have Brooks Agnew on again, talking about the Inner Earth Expedition and about some of the experiences he had here at the ranch. And during our conference, he had just an amazing opening. There's several other things we wanted to talk about. There's we had quite an experience here at the ranch. Our septic tanks backed up. We had all kinds of problems, so we've been out digging and kind of knee-deep in you-know-what. And I thought about this, how it applies to the rest of the world and, you know, the microcosm and the macrocosm. And, you know, it seems like everybody was knee-deep in crap for a little while because the energies were pushing everything up for everyone and giving everybody something to look at. But at the same time, it's even better now because we dug up the line and fixed the problem, and everything's brand new again and flowing, and we've got clear waters flowing again, so we're back in business. So I think a lot of other people went through the same process with these huge energy influxes coming in. We've been getting information over and over about an amazing energy shift coming in November, and some other shifts are coming in before November. So there's going to be a frequency jump, a vibrational lifting going on, and this is going to be exponential, and it's just going to keep building over and over again. The best analogy I heard is it's like a merry-go-round that people are on, and it's starting to spin faster and faster, and a lot of people, friends and family and lovers, are being flung off off the wheel, you know, as the frequencies go up or as the wheel gets spinning faster. And now it's kind of humming along right now, and you know, people are reevaluating, gaining the wisdom from the experience, and, you know, getting ready for the next big shift, you might say, the next big frequency jump. So anyway, this roller coaster that we're on, or this merry-go-round we're on, where things are just going round and round and faster and getting stronger and stronger. Each time this comes around, we need to gain the wisdom from this experience as it comes around. And if we don't, the next time around, it's going to hit us really hard. So, you know, people ask me, well, how do I know when to help people and when to, you know, work with people again that have been flung off the wheel or flung out of my life, you might say. And I always tell them when there's humbleness and when there's an apology, it's usually a good indicator that people are ready to come back on the ride again. So... But if they haven't, you know, if they're still stubborn and refusing to process or move forward, then you might want to just leave them off the wheel for a little while until they're done. But anyway, it's an exciting time we're in. There's incredible shifts and new energies coming in. We've had some incredible things happen here at the ranch. We had a quite an interesting situation here. We had something flew over the ranch here. Nobody could see it. But it left quite a wake of energy, you might say, and it sounded like a high wind going over, very loud. But the trees didn't move, you didn't feel anything, it just made a lot of noise. And then shortly right after that, we heard a very deep humming noise, just like the noise on my website. I've got the sound of a mothership hovering over Portland State University. And this ship, when it came over, sat here for quite some time just humming away, and it was totally invisible. Nobody could see it, but you could definitely hear this ship. And then it seemed all the power lines went down. The people were having all kinds of power outage. The phones went down. The internet went down. You know, we were having all kinds of disturbances with the electronics. And followed by about another 20 minutes later, we had some big helicopters flying over the ranch. So it was quite an interesting event. You know, definitely, I'm sure it's all tied in together. But anyway, a couple of days earlier, I was told that we were going to have a major visit from a very large ship, from some beings that are ultra-dimensional, very high-dimensional beings, and which would explain why they weren't visible to the naked eye, because they're just out of our frequency. So anyway, the other indicators were there that there was definitely a major experience. We're hoping to shift out into the field here pretty soon. We have some people out sky watching, and I have a pilot here that I'm hoping to get him online. He's out wandering in the field. But he had an amazing experience here, and while he was flying his plane on the way here, he actually photographed some beautiful metallic ships near between Mount St. Helens and Mount Adams. And people filmed some metallic ships here during the conference. And I've got all kinds of photographs coming in from people that were here at the conference and having some pretty amazing events. But the photographs are everything from gigantic colored ships that were kind of pinkish colored, you might say, to blue and green, to metallic ships, to the light spheres, the orbs, just everything. It's just amazing, the photographs that are coming in from the last conference. They're still coming in. And people took some pretty amazing photographs, which is, you know, really what this is all about. This isn't about a secret scientific investigation or, you know, taking an elitist attitude with this. This is all about making this available to the people so they can participate and have their own experience. And it's very important that people do have their own experiences and, you know, see for themselves what's going on, because, you know, the universe is filled with life, and it's an incredible waste of space to think we're the only ones here. I always wonder if this is the best God has to offer on the earth, then we're a very sorry universe, because we're in big trouble right now considering what we're doing with the planet and with each other. And hopefully there are some elder brothers and sisters out there that can come and inspire us to do things a little bit better. And there definitely are. The few other things I wanted to talk about, we have, I wanted to open this up to open lines if anybody wanted to call in until we bring in our guest, Brooks Agnew. And the call-in number is 877-876-5227. Again, if you want to call in, it's 877-876-5227. And we welcome anybody's call if they want to call in and report some of their own experiences with these frequency shifts and changes and any experiences with UFOs or anything of the paranormal. We're open to hearing just about anything you have to say, as long as we stick somewhere within that subject. But there's just so much going on. It's just amazing right now, the shifts and the energies. I've had a lot of people are very, very concerned with the condition of the environment and the planet and how some of our leadership would just love to start World War III. It seems to be their program right now. And I've always told people that although it may look kind of dark now, and those plans are on the books, and they'd love to start a war with Iran and China and just keep it going, I'm pretty sure these things aren't going to happen, mainly due to some divine intervention and some intervention here on the earth right now. There's some wonderful people stepping forward, people like Dennis Kucinich, some other senators are all stepping forward and just saying enough's enough, and they're starting to pass legislation that's pretty much going to pull the plug on a lot of these things, and it's up to us to get behind this and create what they call an uprising, you know, wake up, smell the coffee, look what's going down, and just say enough's enough. But a lot of people say, what does this have to do with ETs? It has everything to do with ETs, because they want us to wake up and they want us to heal, and they want us to start being kind to each other and the planet and live in harmony. And these other groups are quite the contrary. They'd like to see the opposite happen. So anyway, there has a lot to do with ETs. It has a lot to do with the benevolent ET agenda, and has a lot to do with the sole purpose of a lot of us here, especially those listening to the radio right now. You probably wouldn't be listening to the show if you didn't have some kind of connection or sole purpose or something aligned with the awakening and healing process. I'm going to give that call number again and see if we can get some calls in. I'm not sure if we can get that line. I don't know how many lines we've got in because we're getting ready to connect into the Skywatch. But if you wanted to call in, again, the number is 877-876-5227. And again, if anybody wants to call in and share some of their experiences or offer some great news about something going on, we're welcome. There's all kinds of seems to be a lot of peace movements and peace treaties. I mean, everything is flying on the internet right now. And I think it's important that we all get behind this and start moving that direction. There's a lot of movement in the exopolitics arena with Dr. Michael Sala, and he's got some incredible things going on. Alfred Rubre also. If you go to exopolitics.com or exopolitics.org, you can read of some of the great things happening there. But there's just all kinds of movements going on right now. There's a great upswelling, you might say, of consciousness and energy, and there's a movement now to move into the next shift. There's a lot of other things going on, too. We're getting this line. Shalimar.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Good.
Hey, we're just talking about a lot of things going on with the shifts and the energy here, and I don't know if you wanted to explain some of the things that you've experienced since you've been here.
Sure, I could do that.
We can start off by what's your background. I know you've been putting on a lot of conferences in Shasta.
Yeah,
hello.
I've been a year and a half ago, I received the guidance to start a production company called Shalimar Productions.
Mm-hmm.
And the guidance was to bring David Icke to the mountain because he needed to be here at the mountain. And so that was the beginning of it. And we've done 3 workshops and 1 conference. And we're getting ready to bring Kathy O'Brien and Mark Phillips to Mount Shasta the beginning of next month, the Transformation of America. And then next year we're doing 4 major conferences. And I'm hoping that you'll come to one of them.
That'd be great. I'm planning on it.
But my background is... I've pretty much been wide open most of my life. Been on Mount Shasta for 20 years now. I've seen many, many different ships and beings, be it through the physical eyes or through dreams. And meeting you, James, last May in Mount Shasta, I felt it was a meeting of a dear old friend, old brother, and coming here, it's my second time here. I was there for your conference, and now I'm here, and I definitely feel the energy here. There are definitely ships. I haven't seen too many. I've seen lights in the sky, but I've felt them, and I know they're around all the time, even if you can't see them with your physical eyes.
Would you say the energies are real similar here to Shasta?
I'd say the energy's a little different. What I would say with Shasta, the ships aren't around all the time. But when they do come, there's like an explosion of energy. Where here, it feels like they're around all the time, and you can feel almost like a magnetic rain. That's the way I would describe it.
And it's like a real steady energy here. I've noticed Shasta has some real intense energy and some pockets here and there.
Yeah.
Of real different types of energies, whereas here it's real steady, it seems to be.
Yeah, that's my experience here. To me, both places feel like home, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those are my two charge places where I go and recharge and charge up would be Shasta and up here at Mount Adams. You know, probably because both of them have huge civilizations underneath them.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have Brooks on here pretty soon, and he had quite an experience. I can't wait for him to come on and talk about what he experienced here at the ranch.
I could share my experience that I had when I was living in Ohio when I was a child. I was 13 years old. And I had a dream. I was taken by a spaceship to the north side of Mount Shasta. I'd never heard of Mount Shasta before. It was taken to a big flat rock, and that rock went down like an elevator to an inner city. I met all these beings, and they showed me around. They showed me these beautiful, they didn't have churches or temples. What they had was buildings where people could go in and worship, but you couldn't even, you know, meditate and commune with God, but you couldn't even see the walls. They were so vast. And it had its own light source. It had tremendous vegetation, just like really phosphorescent light in the vegetation. And so they gave me a tour of the place, and the last thing they told me, they said, one day you'll be here because you're a guardian. And 18 years later, I made it to Mount Shasta.
Mm-hmm. And it seems very, very similar. I've been here about 20 years, you know, doing a lot of the same thing that you've been up there at Shasta. So,
You're doing a lot more. Yeah, yeah. You're putting...
I guess it doesn't. You can't really compare it, you know.
Well, what I mean by that is the buildings that you've created here and the people that you have that come and go here. It's beautiful.
Yeah, well, you're definitely doing your share there, especially putting these conferences on. Right. Touching the heart of a lot of people.
Yeah, I think it's just the beginning.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about this shift happening? It's just amazing, the ebbs and flows of this energy coming in. It's really high and clear, and then one day, next now, you know, everything's, you know, flying around and kind of crazy, and then it just picks up again.
Yeah, I was shown this a long time ago that these times would happen. I was also told that if you remain centered within yourself, even if the world is spinning around crazily, you'll be fine.
Yeah. You know, I agree with that 100%. We had a very good example of that when I was in Hawaii at the Hawaii conference. We brought actually Kazekiel's energy in, and a whole group of very powerful people were there in this room, and they had a major earthquake right underneath us, and nobody sensed it or felt it. Nobody felt a thing. In our room, but in the other rooms right next to us, they had the heck shaken out of them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I see that you can actually change the outcome of an event, or you can move into a different frequency and it doesn't affect you in any way whatsoever. You can even move into a different timeline.
Yeah.
It's quite interesting to have that effect, you know, in the next room over where they're being shaken and nothing's happening in your room at all. Everybody in the room was in a completely different frequency, you might say, or didn't have the experience.
Yeah.
Are you going to be out sky watching?
Yeah, sky watched a little bit. Yeah. I think there's some people out there sky watching right now.
Yeah, I was trying to find the gentleman that was here with the plane. Did you meet him?
I never met him.
Yeah, they were out there sky watching, and they disappeared, and I was hoping we could get him on. But he was flying his plane around here and got some great photographs of some metallic ships.
Huh.
But he's somewhere wandering around out in the field. We found their jackets on the chairs and everything. I hope they didn't take a ride and not tell anybody. But I think they're just walking around the field, I would imagine.
Now, the energy has definitely been powerful. I felt a mothership here. Didn't see it physically, but I could feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And I shared with you on my hike the other day that coming back down from the hike, I sensed the ship and even looked up. And in my mind's eye, I could see it. And I was told it was in my etheric field. So this area is definitely a hotbed.
Mm-hmm. So it was. This is the one that you were talking about that had a kind of a bluish or turquoise color to it?
Yeah, like a turquoise.
Yeah, we've seen those.
Turquoise with gold.
Uh-huh. Now those are amazing. They're not quite physical. I actually have a photograph of one that was hovering over my dad's place when he died. It's pretty interesting. His last words were "beam me up," and then there was this turquoise ship, right above him. It was quite amazing. But anyway, it's great talking with you there.
Yeah, you too.
And I don't know if anybody else wants to come on or. Probably not. I know both people are out on the field.
Here's somebody. We got somebody standing in the kitchen. Maybe your pilot.
Okay.
Here you go.
Hello. Anybody there? Meanwhile, we're searching for our pilot.
Hi, James.
Hi.
I'm on.
Okay, great.
Yes, I was out standing by the trees way out there with my son, and where you said that one craft had landed. And God, with that moon out there tonight, it's like daylight out there.
Oh, it is. Yeah. It's amazing. We saw your jackets up on your chair. And we go, boy, I hope they didn't take a ride and disappear on us and not tell anybody.
Right. Yeah, it was just, they said they only had room for two, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed, I know you came to the conference and we were talking about that and said you had a great time.
Absolutely. It was, it was just wonderful. And you get up here and you feel 100 pounds lighter. And I was drinking the water and all that. Just had an absolutely good time, and you guys were very congenial hosts, and I went home and was homesick for about 2 weeks for coming back. I live right at the base of Mount Rainier, and I think every chance I got, we were up there next to that mountain, and we could see Mount Adams from Mount Rainier too, which is quite interesting. And then I think I told you about all those pictures I took with my boys with the orbs out there.
Exactly.
And so that was quite something. And since you showed me what to look for, I've seen probably, sometimes I see like three craft and within a half an hour, and sometimes I won't see any. But I see the ones way up high and on the clear nights we've been having. And God, it's just been wonderful.
Oh, great. Now, I know you took, at the conference, you showed me some of the photographs you took.
Yeah.
While you're flying your plane and got some pretty amazing photographs.
Yeah, I was flying my plane up there by Mount St. Helens, And I had my daughter and my son with me, and I was just taking snapping photos of the mountain, and about as fast as my camera would recover. And I download them on my computer, and here I've got these discs that were pretty much right in front of my face that we didn't even see.
And it's amazing how much is flying around there just outside of our visible light that we can see.
Yeah.
But they're definitely metallic ships, but the cameras pick them up.
Yeah, it's just, it's interesting. And I've seen on the internet where people are just out vacationing and they're just taking pictures of stuff and they get their film back and here's a disc and, you know, or two or three and they had no idea and they didn't see them, so.
Yeah, a lot of people don't understand how that works, but the human eye can only see so much of the light spectrum and the cameras can actually pick up much more. So
yeah.
It's just that our eyes, unless we've done extensive meditation practice and developed our clairvoyancy, we can't see what these cameras are picking up.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also told you the night that I was up here on the field that we saw that one craft appeared. It was probably about 150 feet to our right and 150 feet above us. It all of a sudden popped in and went probably about 200 yards. And then disappeared, and both me, my wife, and my two boys saw that, and that was quite something.
Yeah, I think pretty close to that same night, we filmed a wonderful triangle ship flying over.
Yeah, I think we talked about that. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was flying backwards. The point was going in the opposite direction. It was about a 45-degree angle, and it was actually flying backwards with the two points in the front, which I thought was pretty interesting.
Yeah, wow.
But we've had these triangle ships. A lot of people are trying to say it's some special spy satellite where three are tethered together, but, you know, these things make right-angle turns and, you know, turn around and go back the other way. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's for satellites to be doing that. That's
yeah, and to fly backwards is a little interesting.
And I think, like we both know, somebody's always got their 5-second expertise on what it was.
Yeah, I think they just make things up as they go. You know, whenever they have an event, they have to come up with. They've got some pretty lame excuses. I mean, they can't keep using Venus.
Yeah, and that's a swamp gas thing. That's getting old too.
Yeah.
So I don't know where we're going to go from here, but.
Yeah, you know, they'll say it's Venus. You know, you'll see something to the north, and you go, well, Venus is to the south behind
us,
you know. And they go, no, it's Venus. You know?
Yeah, those guys need some new material, I think.
Yeah. I think the best one I heard was they said it was a space shuttle. And that was the one that landed on the mountain and morphed into four ships and three ships and then took off, you know. It was on the mountain, landed, and they said it was... The experts, you know,
well,
the head of the planetarium said it was here. It was the space shuttle.
Huh. What, are they getting snow samples now? Or,
I don't know.
That's a fancy way to do it, isn't it? Or,
well, I think if that's the case, the space shuttle must have counter-gravity, you know, so
yeah.
They're able to, like, come down, hover, grab some samples, and then take up, and then go land, you know, over there in Florida.
Yeah, that's our tax dollars at work, I guess. I don't know. That's funny.
It's pretty amazing. It just never ceases to amaze me, some of the things that seem to be coming in. Would you say, you know, having these experiences, what would you say is more important, actually having the photograph or having the experience?
You know, to me, it's the experience. I mean, you know, just growing up, my dad was a pilot, I'm a pilot, and... So anything that flies is very interesting to me, how it works. And but the next step is who's the craft, and you know, where do they come from? What are they like? Do they have families? Do they eat, you know, food? I mean, what, you know, what are they all about? And so that's kind of the next step, sort of thing. Yeah, so for me, that's kind of where I'm at,
you know, that is the next step.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah. You know, and just everything about the whole thing is the craft and the beings and everything else is.
Yeah.
is just absolutely astounding. So, and it's a lot to take in. I mean, you know, I've read a lot of books and different things, and always wanted to see one, and you know, got my chance. And,
We definitely got to get beyond the proving that they're real and just say, okay, now that we know they're here, why are they here?
Right.
Who are they? Why are they here? What are their intentions?
Right. And where are they from? And
move to the next level.
Yeah, and all the things that you've told me personally about why they're here and what they're doing, I mean, I just want to thank you and thank them for you know, doing everything they've done. And if they're stopping solar flares and meteors that have already hit and earthquakes that should have happened but didn't and volcanic eruptions. I mean, I live right in the base of Mount Rainier, and if it goes up, that's a big deal. And, and it's no joke that Mount St. Helens just absolutely blew up. So
yeah.
It's kind of an old wives' tale that Mount Rainier's going to erupt, and everybody says, yeah, we've been hearing that for years. But, you know, like I said, Mount St. Helens did erupt, and that's no joke.
Yeah, the old wives' tale, I think, is St. Helens goes, and then Rainier follows.
Right.
An old Indian prophecy.
Yeah, so...
hopefully they can settle that down. And they did it... I'm probably going to say this wrong, but it's like Popocatépetl or something. I always say it. Down there, the ships actually landed, went down into the lava, and came back out again with lava dripping off them, with the webcam there on the volcano filming. It's amazing.
Is that right? Because you know they say the volcanoes are real hot spots for UFO sightings and activities, and you know I always wondered. They said that the volcanoes put off a gas called H3O instead of H2O. And there was a theory that they actually use that for fuel.
Yeah.
You know, whether that's true or not, I have no idea. But
well, not really.
yeah, probably not. So.
You know, I imagine they could use it for something, but basically they don't need fuel. You know, we try to figure out how they're running these ships according to, you know, our reality, which is fuel. And actually the fuelless technologies are already here.
Yeah. Yeah, in fact, you told me that, or I heard that on, I think, the Art Bell show, and you said that you've actually held that in your hand at one time.
Oh, yeah, I've seen just incredible new technologies, but the problem isn't, you know, with the current regime, you might say it's going to be very hard to get these out, but I think this next year that's all going to change.
Right. And, you know, another thing is every time somebody's trying to come forward with something, they ended up disappearing or eating their invention in the paperwork. And
yeah.
You know.
Or they get bought out and it's shelved. You know?
Right.
So you either get really rich or disappear or...
Right.
You know, one or the other.
Yeah, there's two ways we can do this. We'll either pay you off or, you know... Or maybe we'll meet you at McDonald's or something and buy you lunch.
Yeah. One guy.
So, but hey, while we're on, I just want to thank you guys once again. Just had an absolute wonderful time, first class people, and I can't wait till the next one. And obviously, I'm back at your place again here a month or two later. So.
Yeah, it's great to have you back.
So
I'll be able to join you out there after the show and do a little sky watch. And
God, that'd be wonderful, James. Really appreciate it. And I'll see if somebody else wants to jump on here, and I'll talk to you in a little bit.
All right. Take care.
Thanks, James.
Hi, James. Brooks Agnew here.
Hey, Brooks. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Sorry, I ran a little bit behind schedule. High school bands, you know how it is.
Great. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't even know where to start. We just had some of the people here that were at the conference come on, and we had the pilot here that took those incredible photos of the metallic ships.
Wow.
And, you know, it's pretty amazing. The thing that intrigued me most was your presentation. It was just an awesome presentation here.
Really?
And given the physics behind the hollow Earth.
Yeah, you know, while I was at the Science, Spirit, and World Transformation Conference at your ranch there in August, You know, I came with an open mind, and I was thoroughly impressed with the spirit of the people that were there, the like-mindedness, the openness, that they weren't judgmental, and I felt safe, and I finally felt like I could talk about something.
Mm-hmm.
And then that incredible experience at just about, well, it was just a little after midnight on Saturday night. And here, you know, all this information, it seems, kind of downloaded into me, and I had no clue what it was. And then I get back to my home in Western Kentucky and open my email and find out that our fearless expedition leader has suddenly died, and they're in need of leadership. And the next thing I know, I'm elected to be the leader of the North Pole Inner Earth Expedition. So I've taken the bull by the horns, and we now have a date. We will be traveling to a certain destination near the North Pole on July 4th, 2007, and we will go intensely for 13 days to July 17th. And we have basically 91 or 92 seats available on that expedition, and we're trying to fill them with the most qualified people that we can. And we realize, I think, that we've got to have the same level of consciousness that we had at your ranch, or we're not going to see anything.
Yeah, I can hardly hear you. Is there a way you can either, I don't know if you can speak up or turn your dial up. I don't know if it's on our end.
I'm trying. Is that better?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't have my usual broadcast unit here. It died on me, and it's being repaired, so.
Well, that's okay. I just will turn the mic up a little bit.
Yeah, we're doing
okay.
This on the, just on the regular phone this time.
All right.
But the, I mean, that's amazing, the way this is going, and going back to the other experience that you had where you got the, you might say the big shaft of light in the chest. That's one thing we have in similar. We both had that same experience.
Yeah, I don't really know how to describe it. It wasn't a shaft of light though. It was more like an open conduit, and it came from Mount Adams, which the room that I had at your place faced the mountain. So I really had probably the best room in the house, but. This conduit opened up between the mountain and my chest, and it seemed like a pulsing energy was coming from the mountain, going right into the middle of my chest, and it just felt like somebody was like low frequency going into the middle of my chest, and I was checking myself. My legs were relaxed, my arms were relaxed, my heart wasn't beating really fast. But it lasted for about 15 or 20 minutes, I think. And I thought that the experience was just unique to me. But there were other people in the room when I sort of came out of my deep trance-like state. They said, "Did you see that?" And I said, "See what? I mean, I felt it." And they said, "No, you had images of maps and blueprints and charts and things appearing on your back, and then it was like a slideshow going on in gold and light." I said, "No, I didn't see that." But they said, "Well, all this information seemed to download into you."
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Well, I don't really know what that is." The next morning I woke up, I really felt different. I really
different. Yeah.
And I came down in the kitchen and I told one of your guests there, I said, "Man, I feel really different." And he said, "You look different." Then later on during the day, this being Sunday, you convinced me to go up to the floor, Mike, and sort of share my experience with 300 people in there, which I really didn't want to do. I was really shy about it. And I got up there, and I was really overcome, just overcome.
You know, it was very heartfelt when you were talking about your experience, and everybody knew it was real, and somebody of your caliber with your education to come up and talk about something like that really meant a lot to a lot of people.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, I as a scientist, you learn not to be, you know, fooled by what you think. You go by data. You go by hard evidence and things that you can verify and repeat. I'm not used to taking measurements with my body. I'll tell you that straight up. And this was... But I thought about it, you know, during the day, and when I finally got up and made my presentation, I sort of filled in the details that I hinted at. I said to myself, well, if I just take this and say, before I came here, I didn't have these feelings, and now I do have these feelings, and that is a discernible, repeatable difference. And so that just sort of led me into revealing what I revealed. And it was a real observation. And that is a legitimate scientific method, is to share a direct observation.
Well, plus the other witnesses as well that were watching your back light up with all the maps and charts.
Oh, hey, it wasn't even that. You know, there were people on the other side of the house that weren't even close to me. Tanya Maidenford was one. She called me, oh, gosh, I'm thinking maybe 10 days ago. And she relates this story to me that she's on the other side of the house, and the house is shaking. And she asked you, do you have earthquakes up here? And you said, well, yeah, we have earthquakes, but that's no earthquake. That's some kind of energy pulsing into the house from somewhere. And she didn't put two and two together, and neither did I, until she called me. And I said, wow, what time was this? She said, oh, I'm thinking maybe 12:30 in the morning on Sunday. I said, you're kidding me. It lined up perfectly with what was going on with me.
Oh, it did. I was there, and actually, in the room, I had a candle lit sitting on the table, and it started like vibrating. It was moving all over the table, and I said, you know, that is really interesting. I've seen earthquakes before, but not things that make things vibrate and move around like that did. It was something totally different.
That is something else.
Yeah, I just shared with the audience earlier, just a few days ago, we had something fly over here that sounded like a very loud rushing wind, but there wasn't any wind accompanying it. And then they had a power outage here. All the phone lines, everything went down, the internet went down for quite some time. And then followed by that, right after the power outage, we had these big black helicopters flying over to
us. Oh, no way.
Yeah, so there was definitely an event here. It was pretty exciting, but you never could see the craft, but you knew it was there. And then we had that deep pulsing noise that I have on the website, and it was pretty amazing. But people heard it, people outside, people inside the house, everybody heard this very deep pulsing noise. And a couple of days earlier, I was told that we were going to have a visitation by a very large ship. You know, so sure enough, it did come in, but it wasn't visible to the eye.
Well, how this all fits together for me is I had no idea. You know, before I went to your place, I was just a participant in the Hollow Earth expedition. I was just a contributing scientist. I get this download, I go home, and within a week, I'm the leader of the North Pole Inner Earth expedition. And actually, Angelica Whitecliff, who was at your ranch as well, I spoke to her on the phone, and I said, Angelica, I don't know what to make of this. And she said, when the time is right, the information that was downloaded into you will come forward, and you will know what it's for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely will.
Boy, did that happen.
Yeah, it's amazing. People are being, with the energy that I've seen, there's people are being downloaded in their sleep. They're feeling this pulse of energy going through their body. And after the conference, we had people calling over and over saying that they had all these bizarre healings that happened with them, and they can't explain them.
Wow.
You know, one guy actually had all kinds of intestinal bleeding and real serious intestinal problems, and he actually checked himself out of the hospital to come to the conference.
And, wow.
And he came here, and he went back, and they checked him out, and he says, there's nothing there. He's clean as a whistle. And, you know, he had all the all the tests done, and they just couldn't figure it out. They could not explain any way whatsoever what happened.
Wow. Well, I know that the energy that was there is discernible. It's recognizable. It's repeatable. It was palpable. And I know that the ship, when we leave from Murmansk, Russia, and head for the location that we've predetermined, we have to have the same level of consciousness on that ship that we had at your ranch.
It is important.
I think if we don't have it, we're not going to see anything.
Exactly. It's the same with the ships here. They scan the group, and they try to decide, you know, whether how low they can come in or how close they can come in. And when they scan the group, they check out the level of consciousness there and how much fear and skepticism. And
well, you know, Friday night when we left out after the film, we watched the Star Dreams film.
Mm-hmm.
We were one, the first group, I guess, that came out of the conference room there, the assembly area that you have. And it was dark outside.
Mm-hmm.
And we were walking to the place where we had determined we were going to lay on our back and watch the stars, and we hadn't quite got there yet. And there was a craft that flew over. It looked like a satellite to me, but it was going west to east, which is pretty strange for a satellite.
Mm-hmm.
And one of your patrons there shined a laser at it. We watched the laser hit it. It stopped. And then it went from this soft little gold glow up there to this huge, it looked like an eyelash. No. It looked like an oblong piece of lightning in the sky. That's how bright it was. And it was coming down on top of us.
Yeah.
And I have to admit, I stopped and my heart came up in my throat like that. Because I thought, oh my gosh, it's coming down here. And not 2 seconds after I had that wave of fear, it stopped, it went back up, changed direction, and went somewhere else.
Yeah. And that's basically what they do. They'll let you know they're here, and they're totally monitoring you through very spiritual forms of, you know, telepathy and things like that. And they're knowing exactly how you can handle them. As soon as the fear comes up, they say, okay.
Wow.
We'll be back.
So when we say, okay, when are you coming? The answer is, when you're ready.
Exactly. You know, I'm fascinated about this inner earth. I had my own experiences there with a group. We were with the Tibetan Foundation. We used to bilocate there and use practices where we go out of body.
Mm-hmm.
And I met with quite a few different people in there, and as a group we went there, and the most interesting thing is shortly after that we ended up going to this this other channel that was channeling all this information by the name of Ronta, and he put out this tape on the inner earth. And when I listened to that tape, I said, oh my god, that's exactly what we saw and what we wrote down that we experienced in traveling in what we call like a Merkaba. You can actually create a vehicle and travel there out of body as a group and have your own experience.
Wow.
And they were waiting for us. They knew we were coming. They were waiting for us, and we wrote down detailed information of what we saw. And it's a little beyond remote viewing. You're actually taking your body there and, you know, having the experience. But it was amazing. But the details, that's what fascinated me. The detailed information that was written down was exactly what was on this tape, and they're two completely different sources.
That is amazing. Well, I guess my question is, I have two questions. One, is there an expectancy by the inner earth population, or at least the ones that are in communication with the service? Do they expect us? Are they expecting this expedition to come there?
I am sure they know about it, and I'm sure they're expecting you. And again, like you say, if we have the right consciousness and there's not a whole lot of interference or, you know, sabotaging by other energies getting involved, that there won't be a problem as far as communicating and connecting. What I do know for sure is that this is part of a much bigger plan that's unfolding, and it's part of our destiny to come in contact with and reunite with not just that group, the Inner Earth group. There's quite a few other groups that are based, you know, underneath mountains in different areas. So it seems like they're all going to be coming out here in the days to come and assist us to get through a lot of the changes that we're undergoing.
Well, yeah, that's my really my second question is if they're expecting us to come, and if our consciousness is right, if we are, you know, I have a saying that there is a saying that says many are called and few are chosen, but I've kind of changed that.
Mm-hmm.
It's many are called and few choose.
Exactly.
And I think that we have chosen. And I think that the feeling that I get is that our 70,000-ton, 500-foot-long vessel is not going to go down that opening into the inner earth. My feeling is that there is going to be a craft come up out of the inner earth and meet us and take certain individuals or accept certain individuals off our ship onto their ship and take us on a journey.
Mm-hmm. There definitely might be more than one.
Wow.
You know, there's probably several that are going to come up and say hi.
Well, that's my feeling. And we're going to have film crews there. We're going to be doing a science documentary. We're
mm-hmm.
still negotiating with the different channels as to which one's going to get it. And I'll
yeah.
tell you now that we are considering National Geographic, the Science Channel, Discovery Channel, and there's one other channel, but I can't tell you the name right now because I just cannot disclose that yet.
Mm-hmm.
One of those channels, or maybe all of them, or maybe a fifth one, will be filming during our expedition. And if we catch that on film, James, it's going to change everything.
I'm definitely taking my camera.
Yes, I just wanted to make sure that your listeners know that we have invited you to come as well.
And how do they get a hold of you for this? If people want to be a part of this expedition or donate to the expedition? Or assist?
Okay, they need to go to phoenixsciencefoundation.org. The contact information is on there. We will be posting the available seats and requirements for those seats. What we need people to do, we got 6 questions we need them to answer, and if they want to send us a resume, they can. And however they answer those 6 questions, we will sift through the thousands of people that apply for these seats. And keep in mind, there will be no cost except to get yourself to Murmansk, Russia. There will be no cost for the expedition. We're looking for certain team members with certain capabilities. And it's up to our board to select those.
Great.
So we'll be posting that probably this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That's phoenixsciencefoundation.org.
And if anybody has any super wealthy friends, I'm sure, you know, they would definitely be interested in the outcome of this.
Well, I can tell you very quickly, the more we have to sell to the film companies, the less control we will have over this expedition.
Mm-hmm.
If we have our own private money, I promise every bit of data and information will be released to the public.
That's the most important part. I put a challenge out to SETI and NASA both, and I said, oh, okay, you know, you guys are getting this billions of dollars of funding, you know, and well, let's see who has the best UFO evidence. I'll put my evidence up on the table. You put all your evidence up on the table, and whoever has the best evidence walks away with the funding. But the kicker is that all of the evidence goes into public domain, and it's released to the public. And they didn't take me up on that challenge.
Yep. I turned down a National Science Foundation grant myself because I could not control the information.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's what it's all about, is control, isn't it? You know, it's the last frontier, giving up control and following your soul and doing what spirit's guiding you to do.
Well, that's what it's all about. It's not about the money. I have plenty of money. I don't need any more money. I like doing what I'm doing, but I feel driven. No. I feel called to do this. And I was born for it, James. This is what I'm going to do.
Well, I mean, that is the whole key. So many people are, you know, enslaved through dependency. They've got that 9-to-5 job. They've got the mortgage. They've got everything. And they're so far away from their sole purpose. And unless you're following your sole purpose, your joy is totally diminished. You know, you're operating out of survival. And, you know, the first three base chakras, which are basically survival, sex, and power. And until they get up into their heart chakra and get in touch with their soul and their soul purpose, there's really no joy in their life. You know, but they've been so programmed to run this other program, which is, you know, buy all the toys and... It's just crazy.
Well, you're right. I see people trapped in that all the time.
Yeah, it's time to bust out of that. And you know, people need to make their own connection with spirit, and they need to make their own... find out what their own unique purpose for being here and get on with it. And you're a grand example of that.
Well, you know, I appreciate that more than you know. It is not an easy thing to sell your estate, to give up your dream home, you know, the one that you always dreamed of having and dreamed of building, sell it, get yourself out of debt, get yourself mobile, get yourself in tune, and to position yourself to take on a responsibility like this. That was very, very difficult for me, and it was difficult for my family. But you know what? It's no sacrifice, because
yeah.
I am just filled with joy doing it.
Yes, how can you not do it? You know, when you're really plugged into your soul and your soul purpose, and you know how... I mean, I've walked away from this place. I've been building this sanctuary for 20 years. And doing inner sensitivity track classes and meditation classes, anchoring the energy in here and making the connections and contacts. And there's times where I just wanted to walk away from it. I said, you know, I'm quitting. I'm just going to go get a regular job. I'm not going to worry about this anymore. And I tried to leave, and I just couldn't. And, you know, I went up vision quest on the mountain. I said, okay, what would I do? You know, what else would I do? And I got really clear, and I thought about it, and I just said, well, it's what I have to do. I don't have any, you know, choice in this matter other than the one that would pull me back into social consciousness or the, you know, less joy, less freedom, everything.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you didn't. I'm glad you didn't give up.
Yeah. I'm having fun here now. Before, they used to think I was some crazy man, you know, out building an ark in the middle of the field, you know. But we've done a lot of crazy things here, and unfortunately, they manifested exactly the way we said they would. So.
And that's the key word, is manifest. You know, if we have the intention, we realize that we are source, and we apply that intention, you'd be surprised what we can manifest. We may be even able to manifest world peace.
Oh, that's the key right there, is to be able to hold the focus and, you know, bring in the power to manifest through you. You know, bring it right down through you. You got it. You know, it's your spirit connection. Hold that focus, and the more you hold it on it and live the dream, and, you know, it just comes true all around you. It's amazing.
Yes.
I think that's what's going to happen with your inner earth expedition. One way or another, we're going to get there.
Well, that's my feeling too. I just know that it's going to happen that way.
Yeah, I think the more you just hold that focus and put it out there, the more we're going to manifest that. And we're going to draw to us, you know, the inner earth people and whatever we want to experience there. And as long as you don't let fear or let other energies in that might interfere with that or upset it.
You know, there's nothing I can do about the 150-man crew of this vessel.
Mm-hmm.
We've already resigned that we just can't control the crew.
Mm-hmm.
We can control those 100 seats, though.
Exactly.
And, you know, I think that if we don't let the wrong kind of element in there, you know, naysayers and people that are going to be negative, that we can do it. Even if we only control 50 people, if we can get them out on the deck at the right time, in the right mood, concentrating on the same thing, we're going to make something happen.
Oh, exactly. You know, and one awakened being can undo thousands of negative, you know, thinkers. So
what is it they say? The prayers of a righteous man availeth much?
Yeah. I like the one on the side of God is the majority.
That's pretty good.
But it's amazing, you know, we can work with the energies on the ship and the people on the ship, and it's amazing what some of the things I've been trained to do. We can clean up a lot of the energies and keep the focus going and actually sense where there might be blocks or, you know, things of that nature.
Mm. Well, I'm ready to go. How about you?
Well, I'm looking forward to it. You know, I've got to spend some real quality time in the other world and check in and make sure that this is where I need to be, because I have so many other massive projects going on here. Basically, I'm definitely heading in that direction right now.
Well, I don't see how we can do it without you. I just don't.
Yeah. Well, I think you've got everything you need within you. You've got the maps, the chart, the connection, and the heart.
Wow. I'm humbled to the dust, my friend.
Yeah. Well, everything you see in me is within yourself, so never forget that.
I'll try not to.
If it wasn't within you, you couldn't recognize it. You wouldn't have the reference point.
Yeah, but if I wasn't at your ranch that night and that day, I probably would never have said anything to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
You're the one that helped bring it out in me.
Yeah, that's what I signed up to do, I guess.
Yep, you're the master facilitator.
Be the mirror.
Yeah.
There's so many amazing things going on right now that, boy, the world is changing so fast, and you know, a lot of people are really getting upset and buying the tarot card and everything else, and I just said, just don't go there, you know.
That's right.
The more you see this ugly stuff coming up, the more the good stuff is underneath it, pushing it right up to the surface for everybody to see and own and let go.
You know, it was interesting. We called the people that the company that has the ship leased. We're actually subleasing from another expedition company. And we asked them if they'd ever heard of our previous expedition company. And they said, no, we haven't heard of them. And then we said, well, have you heard of the Hollow Earth expedition? They said, oh, yeah, we've heard of that. So the word is getting out, my friend.
Yeah, I actually might. Boy, it's been so long ago, I can't remember which book I wrote. I think I wrote about it a little bit in both books, but I know it's the first book where I actually talk about the Hollow Earth and my experiences there with the beings. And I know there's five or six other really good books out there that cover the Hollow Earth. And your presentation, the DVD where you showed the science behind it, you know, and it
yeah.
made, you know, I was always fascinated with gravity, how the crust is what creates the gravity, the mass of the crust. So you would have gravity pulling you towards the crust on both sides.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And that's the part that people don't understand. They go, well, if you're in the inner earth, you just fall to the center, you know, and end up in that big iron liquid ball that they think is there.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, I had Tom Van Flandern on the program, and you might know him. He's a world-class astronomer, 25 years of publishing.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him, you know, Earth is larger than it originally was, am I not? He said, yes, it is. It's larger. It's spinning slower. It's probably three times as large as it was when it formed. I said, well, if that's the case, if the crust is actually larger in diameter than it was when the Earth was originally formed, 4.5 billion years ago, we're not actually adding matter to the center of the Earth, are we? He said, no. I said, so it is feasible that the crust is actually a sphere around a central core, and that there's an open space approximately 1,200 to 1,500 miles all the way around. And he said, yeah. Yeah, that is possible. So I said, all right, if it's possible, and no one has actually gone and seen, then how can the textbooks say that the Earth is full of molten rock?
Yeah, they've never drilled down to find it.
Oh, no. They've only drilled, at the very most, we've gone 6 or 7 miles into our crust. The Russians are the masters at deep drilling, and they've only gone 30,000 feet.
Mm-hmm.
30,000 feet is a little over 6 miles.
Yeah.
We're talking a crust 900 miles thick.
Exactly. It wouldn't, you know, one of the other things, too, is they've been watching other planets forming, you know, out in the galaxy. And,
right.
And Mercury as well, and they have light shooting out the poles at both ends.
Well, yeah, a quasar. They actually, it accelerates particles up to the speed of light.
Mm-hmm.
And actually beyond that, the photon energy that we get off of quasars is probably well beyond what physics will allow.
Mm-hmm.
And they may be actually the largest structures in the universe, a quasar is. But as a planet forms, we realize that, sure, they gather 2 pieces of dust and then 4 and then 18 and then pretty soon a few tons. But you accomplish a process called overspin, where the planet actually begins to throw pieces of itself off, and there's a gray area where the planet actually begins to expand, and it forms sort of a rock bubble, not a solid rock,
mm-hmm.
because mass just doesn't accumulate that way.
Yeah, there's another theory, too, that they're throwing off the suns. The suns will throw off this hot, gaseous ball. And as it condenses and cools and is spinning, it throws the heavier elements out to the crust and forms a crust while the inner part is still part of a hot gaseous ball like a sun that condenses. And then pretty soon you've got a planet with a central sun and a big void in between the two.
Actually, yes. That's actually very close.
Yeah, that's one of the possibilities I heard.
You know, I'm not an astronomer. Don't claim to be. I just don't have a lifetime of experience doing it, and I think it takes at least one lifetime to have that kind of credibility in
mm-hmm.
the science. But I see how stars are formed, and I see how you know, these gas clouds coagulate into bodies in space, and it doesn't form planets like Earth. Earth is an engineered planet. It's designed and built by someone or something or some group of individuals out there. And this is one of the few planets in our universe, in our galaxy, that you can live on the surface of it.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of them, you're going to have to live inside the planet.
Exactly.
And I think, in my opinion, that if we go and see, we will discover once and for all if the Earth is hollow or not. And isn't that what it's all about?
Exactly. I've heard just from some of my sources, they say most of the civilizations actually live on the interior of their planets.
Yes,
that's
right.
We're one of the few that live on the exterior. And they also said that there's been at least 12 different races of beings that have added their genetics, both in the plant and animal kingdom and the human kingdom as well. To this planet, so we're just a big genetic soup down here, like a bio zoo, you might say.
Well, we are, but here's the real interesting thing, James, is that in these days, in these times, the genetic information has stratified. In other words, well, let me put it really simply. There is just one species of dog on the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
But look at the varieties that we have.
Exactly.
This is because of conscious creation, manipulation, and intervention by humans. Humans have intervened in the natural evolution of the dog and created several different types of dogs inside the species of dog. Well, the same thing has happened with human beings. And I'm not saying races. I'm saying capabilities of humans,
mm-hmm.
sensitivities, abilities to sense things in other dimensions.
Exactly.
Some have the ability much more powerfully than others. This is because beings that are sensitive to this kind of information seek each other out, and they end up bonding and mating and having children. And this is the race that's coming to fruition on our planet.
So it's like attracts light, or frequencies attract frequencies, and
yes,
those that are on the same frequency keep coming together, and the ones that are really awake seem to thrive and continue.
It's like I said at your ranch, you know, evil has an allergy, light. And if we say that we are the enlightened ones, then our responsibility is to flood the earth with light. It's not to fight evil with evil, or evil with guns, or even evil with fire. It's to fight evil with love.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it goes away.
A lot of people say, well, you know, that's not going to work. There's no power in love, but they don't realize that love is the manifesting power behind creation. It's what
that's correct.
Set everything into motion here.
You have it. You have it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, the ultimate power is within. It always has been. We just got to tap into it.
Well, I can tell you, just from my observations, that those people with that kind of power, with that kind of love, are being drawn together.
Exactly.
They chose to draw each other together. They chose to come here and find each other on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
And they are coming together and they are bonding. And that bond is so powerful, that love is so powerful, James, that I believe law itself will be transcended. There will be no need for law, because people will automatically love each other that powerfully.
Oh, I agree, 100%. I've seen, it's interesting what happens here is that the energy here is drawing people that are of like mind or like frequency, and it's like family. And they come here and they plug into the energy and they have a huge awakening and they get back on track, and then they go back into their other world and they get into the fear and the base, all the entanglements and everything else in social consciousness, and then they get stuck and confused and lost for a little bit, and then, you know, but it's like a seed is planted and it just keeps growing and growing, and then the more they try to deny it, the stronger it gets, and the more they try to hold it down, the more pressure it builds, and pretty soon they go, okay, I'm done. And you usually have to hit the wall about 8 times before they realize that, you know, I was there, I was connected, it was happening, maybe this is where I'm supposed to be or whatever, you know, you just never know. But
wow.
I've seen over and over again, people actually will go back to what they think is safe, which is social consciousness, and go back into the survival game and you know, that you know, the typical, enslaved through dependency program, and you know, they'll go back into relationships that are very mundane but safe, you know.
Yes.
And it's amazing. It takes a while for it to come back around and for that seed to open up again. But like any seed, the more you water it, the more it's going to grow. And, if you keep cursing it and smashing it down and kicking it, you know, it's still going to grow, but it's going to be a little twisted.
Well, something that your listeners may not know, we're going to make an announcement on our radio program, too, at X Squared Radio. When we return from this inner Earth expedition next mid-July, we are going to prepare our report to the world officially to be given first at the Science, Spirit, and World Transformation Conference 2007 at your sanctuary.
And we're going to have to give you at least 2 hours or more, maybe. maybe we'll just have an all-day event, you know.
Well, you know, it's going to be several people. If we get the exopolitical people that we've got chosen to go, if we can talk them into coming, there'll be several of us making reports.
Exactly. And that's important, that each person will have a different perspective on the event.
You know the main thing that excites me about this? If we find what we think we're going to find, if our technology, side scan sonar and magnetic measurements and higher frequency measurements and even film, if we find what we think we're going to find, what all signs point to, this will be the greatest geological expedition in the history of the world.
No, Will, it's going to be the biggest thing since flat Earth.
The Earth is not flat?
Well, the Earth is about as flat as it is solid.
Sounds like a good name for a government company, Flat Earth.
Yeah. We should get a bumper sticker. The Earth is just about as flat as it is solid.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I like it. That'll be the logo on the T-shirts.
Yeah. You know, there are so many underground facilities here, and there's, you know, the Tibetans know about them. In India, they know about them, and they're interacting with them, and a lot of lamas and yogis that I know that have come here got just so excited when they saw the ships, and they saw the big golden ships come in. And what was even more bizarre is they did reverse speech on me. And when I was talking about the big golden ships that were coming in here, I said, you know, I don't know who's on those ships, but when you experience the energy coming from them, they feel godlike, like very powerful and beings. And they did reverse speech on me, and I said, Sailor Vishnu is his name. Clear as a bell.
Huh.
Which goes back to the ancient texts, which talk all about these incredible ships and the different types of ships, you know, the Vedic Mahabharata. I don't know if I'm saying these right, but, you know, all the ancient Vedic scripts talk about the ships and the different types of ships and who's on them. And,
right, right. Well,
it's pretty amazing.
Tomorrow on X-Squared Radio, we've got William Henry coming on, and he is a world-renowned mythologist, and
yes.
I believe he is really pushing the front of the box of Egyptology open.
Oh, he is.
I had dinner with him last Wednesday, and trust me, we are going to open frontiers in Egyptology tomorrow night that have never been breached on radio.
Oh, great. I'll be sure and listen to your show. Now, what time Pacific Standard Time is your show?
Pacific Standard Time, it will be 3 to 6. We are on 5 to 8 Central, 6 to 9 Eastern.
Okay. And 3 to 6 is the time to tap in, and I'm sure everybody that's listening right now already knows where to go. So.
Right, right. Yeah, well, they know to come to BBS Radio, because if it's not mainstream, it's here.
Exactly. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Well, we've got about 25 minutes over our time here, and
well, our producer must really like this show.
Exactly, they haven't
letting us go.
They haven't given us the hang-up sign. You know, I've got a large sky-watching group out here that's saying, "When you coming out? When you coming out?"
Well, we appreciate you, Don. I don't know if you had your host for 11 o'clock Central Time didn't show up, but we appreciate the extra 25 minutes. We needed it.
Oh, yeah. It's been quite interesting. Well, I'm just fascinated about this trip. I'm looking forward to it. It's definitely been a dream of mine, and I know it's also a prophecy that's going to be fulfilled, you know, that we are going to reunite with the people of the inner Earth as well as the other star nations as well. And, you know, this prophecy is in almost every indigenous culture. I don't know one that doesn't have that prophecy in it.
Yep, even the Christian religions talk about the 10 tribes returning on a highway of ice out of the north countries.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, there's a lot in there. You know, they talk about the sweet energies of the Pleiades, which are very involved, you know, in the house of Orion, and all of that's in the Bible if you know where to look and how to read it, but you know, it's also in all the other ancient texts as well as the oral prophecies that are given down by the Lakota, you know, the Sioux, all of those, you know, people.
Yep, the Hopi talk about it.
Hopi. Yeah, I don't know. The Cherokee Nation, which actually my great-grandmother was Cherokee, talk about their ancestors as coming from the Pleiades. So, you know, having my own experience with the Pleiadians, face to face, I know they do exist, and I know they're extremely benevolent and very evolved and intently spiritual as well. So it's important that maybe we could learn from them and learn from these people of the inner Earth and open up a dialogue and kind of clean up the consciousness here on the planet and learn to live in harmony with each other and the planet as well.
I think that's it. I think that's it, my friend. I know my genealogy as far back as I've been able to carry it, my people believe that we came from Atlantis.
Mm-hmm.
We're one of the original tribes that founded the western coast of Scotland, came from Ireland, and before that they migrated across the ocean from Atlantis prior to the last cataclysm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the other side of my genealogy is Scottish. So.
Well, there you go.
Which is interesting.
You're a brother.
Yeah, and the Highlanders also talk about the stars, the star nations.
Yes.
In their ancient tradition as well, and actually Atlantis and Lemuria were both plating colonies that actually attracted other nations as well.
Well, there's a photograph in our second book, The Ark of Millions of Years, Volume 2, 2012, and The Harvest of the End Times, that comes out of the ceiling of Roslyn Chapel, and I showed the slide that I took at your convention.
Yes, huh?
And it shows the inner sun inside the crust of the earth.
Exactly.
And this carving sits right over the altar in that chapel.
Yeah, it's a very, very well-known, I don't want to think what the name for it. It's not a myth. It's just some ancient knowledge.
It's a memory. And it's
exactly
passed
a
down
memory.
From generation to generation, and it's up to us to remember.
And remember our cellular memory as well as our spiritual memories and our soul memories, and once we awaken to these, then everything else is going to fall into place.
Yes.
Well, I can't thank you enough, Brooks, for coming on. You're not just a great host, I mean a great guest on your and on this show as well, but a great host on your radio show, and I consider you a great friend as well.
Well, you consider correctly. We're more than friends. I think we're brothers.
Exactly.
And just want the listeners to know that James and I haven't known each other very long, but we've known each other a long, long time.
Oh, exactly. And you definitely have a place here anytime.
All right, my friend.
Anytime you want to come up and get beamed by the mountain, you just let me know.
Hey, I can resist anything except temptation.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Well, again, thank you so much for coming on the show.
My pleasure.
And this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Have a great evening, and I know we will because we're going out to see the UFOs.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.